Keith and the Girl.
Look, I hit 72 hours.
The 74-hour podcast. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us. It's the
Keith and the Girl show. Hello.
Hello, is this Keith and the Girl show?
How can I help you?
This is Newsy's mother.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, and I'm calling you because you know what? I want you guys to know that my son is so loyal to you guys because you know what? I said to him yesterday, Jerome, so what are you doing?
Because you don't call him Newsy. That's funny.
Newsy, I'm like, Jerome, so what are you doing? Well, I've been here like all weekend listening to Keith and the Girl. I said, you know what? You really better be lucky that I like them, even though I don't know them, because I would really be pissed off because you don't bond with me anymore. You bond with them all the time.
Oh. Well, you had them for however many years. It's our turn.
No. So he's like, so I said, you know, I have a good mind to call them and just tell them how I feel. He's like, why don't you do that?
We love your son.
But he really does. He loves you guys, honestly. I'm not kidding you. I have stickers, so he makes me put the stickers all over the place. Aww. Keith and the Girl, right?
You don't sound like a black. Just
funny. Yeah, so I just want you to know that I'm glad that he's found people or something or just whatever that keeps him grounded because he really likes your show.
You can't be real. Are you really Newsy's mom? Can we test you a little bit? Because we got a lot of crazies calling.
I hear it. I hear the brown in her voice. That's his mom.
Oh, you do? No. Go ahead and ask me a question.
Okay. I don't know anything the internet doesn't know.
If there's anything freaky, I may not know because he doesn't tell me everything.
I hope not.
How tall is he?
Okay.
How tall is he?
Oh, God. Jerome, I don't know because I'm 5'1", so maybe he's 5'6", maybe? I don't know. I'm not good with height. He's bald. And, he has a cute little smile, and he has this little itty-bitty gap in his teeth.
Aww. Where is he from?
He was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, in June 15, 1985.
What is his father's profession?
Excuse me?
What is his father's profession?
His dad works for the State Department.
What's
the that might be just a different explanation.
Okay, where does he live now?
In Brazil.
Okay.
In
Brazil.
Oh, the father.
The father lives in Brazil? Oh, okay. Where does Newsy live now?
Newsy lives in Haymarket, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Told you.
Hi, Newsy's mom!
Bunch of suspicious people.
Hi!
So, Newsy's mom.
Yeah, so suspicious. I believe What'd you 5 minutes ago.
So, Newsy's mom. Wow, I feel like this is an opportunity, and I'm blowing it because I can't think of anything to ask you, but do you listen to the show?
Oh.
I listen to your show on Christmas. He had it on his computer or something like that, and that was the first time, actually, that he introduced me to you guys. It was in the hotel for Christmas of 2007, and he came to the room to visit me, and he's like, you gotta check this show out, Mom. It's so cool.
What did you think?
I thought it was really great. I thought it was funny. I'm like, how did you find out about this? You find out about the coolest things, but I really did like it. And you, the girl, do you have a name?
I do. It's very ethnic.
I think you are really beautiful. That's what I told him.
Aww. I said, well, you're my favorite mom in the world.
No, really, you are. I said, wow, she's really beautiful. He goes, yeah, she is.
Aw, well, he only says the nicest things about his mom.
Oh, that's his. I love him. Aww. And he was so styled. He was so funny. He just had this personality, and he would say the funniest things.
Aw, can you tell us some embarrassing things?
Something embarrassing. Okay, this is really embarrassing. I don't even know if he wants this out, but
wow.
I'm going to tell you.
Go,
my mom, bless her heart, she crossed over to the other side. She's passed on. But she used to think this was so funny about Jerome. When Jerome was little, and this is really embarrassing. It's funny to me. When he used to do number two, he will hold his own nose because he couldn't stand it.
That is so cute.
He's such a gentleman.
And my mother said, Jerome, what are you doing? He's like, oh, Grandma, I'm just holding my nose. I don't know if you guys want to air this because I may not be his mother anymore, but that is something that is very funny and profound, and it just sticks out in my mind all the time that he just would hold his own nose.
It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. And if I know Newsy, he wants things to be out.
Newsy said, Newsy said to ask you how he came out to you.
Say that again?
He said, Newsy said to ask you how he came out to you.
Okay. coming out, you mean? The come out thing, right?
Yeah.
That thing.
Okay. This is what he says to me. Now, I've been knowing forever, right?
Really? But how did you know?
When it's your turn, when you want to, you come on out. It's not a big thing to me. So I injured my leg, and he brings me out to his house. I'm riding in the back of the car, and I notice it's this air, there's something in the air in the car, and he's just not comfortable. So I said, what is wrong with you, Jerome? He goes, Mom, I just got something to tell you, blah, blah, blah. Then I said, okay, so just say it. Okay, he goes, I'm gay. And I said, well, when did you find out?
Wow, nice.
Aw, that's so cute.
When did you find out? Because I've always known, and he started cracking up. He goes, I knew that you always... I said, Jerome, the universe prepared me for all of this. I said, as funny as it may seem, and I hate to say this, but you know how you get into like an interracial group of friends and they say, oh, you know, black people are just, you know, some of them like really my best friends. Well, black people really don't like to hear stuff like that because it just sounds really funny. But... then I go and tell him, but actually the universe prepared me for this because I've been around gay people all my life. So this really doesn't mean anything to me. So I always tell him, I always bless the universe for teaching me things like this and to make me have an open mind because who knew?
Wow. Aww.
No.
Internet hug.
That was sweet.
Thank you. Who knew? And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And I said, Jerome, I love you anyway. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You know, I said, there are other people out there who will judge you, but whatever. People will always find something to not be happy about, but it's your life.
How do you feel about him moving to New York City?
Excuse me?
How do you feel about
How do I feel about him moving to New York?
Yeah,
if he were to consider it.
I told him to go for it because I'm the one who says go with the flow. But this is my thing about anything that any of my children do or someone who's close to me. Please be mindful about what it is that you're doing.
Mind the gap.
Be mindful.
You sound like the nicest mom. I'm looking for an adoption.
I'll adopt you. I'm moving. Did he tell you that I'm living in Virginia Beach now?
Oh nice. It's pretty
I'm
there.
I'm coming down.
It's gorgeous there.
So the third time already. The third time is a charm.
Third time what?
So
I'm living there.
If you're ever in the area, you're always invited.
Can I ask you this?
Okay.
How much, let's say if people were paying for how funny the show is, what do you think that they would pay for that?
Can you say that one more time?
Let's say, like, our show is free, but let's say you had to pay for our show. What do you think a decent amount would be to pay, like, per show?
A decent amount, really something that is affordable, maybe? Is that
affordable,
what you mean?
Yeah. What would you consider would be like, hey, I don't mind paying that. It's funny enough to pay that.
$25-$30. I don't know.
A show?
Yeah, I don't really know. I have no idea. $35-$40 for the tickets. I mean, if it's something that you really like, I think you will just pay.
I agree.
You know what I mean? So
I
don't know, because I don't want to insult you guys. And you say, well, that's all we're worth is $40, but I don't know. really, you're worth more, but I don't know how to answer that question.
I think you answered it the best answer I've gotten yet. And you heard that
awesome,
Internet.
Yes.
Did you hear that, Internet?
Those tickets are going to be $35, $45, y'all.
Per
yeah,
show.
About $35 to $40. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, take it or leave it. Hopefully they'll take it, because you know what? This is, you know what, at the end of the day, all said and done, if it's worth it to somebody, they will pay whatever it is that you put out there.
That's true.
$30,000 or not. That's
whatever.
Cool.
You know, I mean, Sting's doing a last show in New York somewhere, and it's like the cheapest seat is like how much money?
$1 million.
Something like that. There's going to be plenty of people out there in those $1 million seats out there.
Aren't you
so sometimes
sweet.
You can't put a price on something. If they're going to pay it, they're going to pay it.
Well, let's see. Well, I think I need just one more bit of information. Can we somehow top the holding the nose pooping story?
Okay.
Okay. Are you topping it?
You mean something about Jerome?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerome.
Something that tops the pooping story?
Hey, Newsy, get your own, Jerome.
I can't even think of anything that comes to...
Oh, how about this? How about this? Yeah, did he ever go on a date with a girl and you just thought it was hilarious?
I would find that funny.
Did he ever go on a date with what?
With a girl. You know, one of those icky creatures.
We don't like those.
Actually, he knows this girl from high school. Her name is Deanna. I believe that's her name. And for some reason, I used to think that he was having sex with her or something. And he said, what? I said, no kidding. I used to think that you were having sex with Deanna.
Why would you think that?
I like how hard she laughed after she said
that. I don't know. I just used to think maybe he's doing it to her or something. I don't know, because she was really cute. Very cute.
How old when you thought that? How old was he?
In high school.
Okay.
So who did he take to prom?
Who did he take to the prom?
His mom.
Damn, did you go to his... Damn.
Because that's like a super official date.
He took Deanna.
I don't even remember, actually. I mean, and it wasn't that long ago, but I think it was a one of those boat cruisy things or something, like you go on. Like those little dinner boat cruise things. I think that's what he went on.
All right.
No, I don't really remember.
He went
I don't know.
Just in case somebody else asks you ever in life, he went with Deanna.
Did he go with Deanna?
Yeah, he went with Deanna.
It was Deanna?
It was Deanna, yeah.
No kidding. Are you serious?
That's what he's saying.
No kidding. Well, I used to always think that he was doing it to her. So I don't really have like too many stories that would top the, you know, little poop thing, because Jerome was just a very unique child for me. And he was just into everything, and he was very funny. And my mom just thought that he was the funniest little person in the world. And his teachers absolutely adored him. And his kindergarten teacher, even as I speak of her now, I always wish that one day we would run into her, because she always said very nice things about my Jerome. She said he is such a pleasure to have in the classroom. Kindergarten.
Well, let me tell you, he is a pleasure to have in our chat room. He never, ever says anything bad about anybody.
Not at all.
He plays so well with everybody.
Doesn't run with scissors.
Doesn't run with scissors.
Doesn't hate.
Doesn't hate.
Just pure love from that one.
Oh.
And that's why I said, Jerome, you better be lucky that I like Keith and the girl, because you know what? You're not bonding with me very much, but you're staying in the house so you can listen to their show for the whole weekend. Well, that's okay, because I love you anyway, but I'm going to call the show and I'm going to have a talk with them.
Well, I tell you what, Jerome owes you some flowers. That's all I know.
You know?
That's all I... Jerome.
Some mom flowers right
put
there.
Put a grape in it. You owe her some flowers.
You guys are so funny. But I would love to meet you guys soon, hopefully. And you can put a picture to this voice or whatever. But I just want you to know that you guys really make him happy. And that makes me happy.
That is so sweet. It's really nice to hear. Thank you so much.
And you guys have such a great weekend.
Oh, you too. But before you go, what we're going to do, because we're really nice people, is we're going to prank someone. So would you tell us, if you wanted to make funnies, oh, who pissed you off in the last 2 weeks? We're going to call them up and prank them. What don't you like? We're going to make it right in the world.
Who pissed me off in the last 2 weeks?
Newsy.
Probably no one, really, that I know of.
Oh, you're too nice to have anyone piss you off. Let's say...
No.
Yeah, you're too nice. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll figure it out, and this next prank is dedicated to you.
Okay, thanks. Right. Cool, guys.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye!
Get your own, Jerome!
How you gonna call your mama a hoe? Damn, that made me die.
That was very nice, Susie.
That was adorable.
So cute. Pinchable. I think McNally should prank someone.
McNally, I think that's a good idea.
All right. McNally, can you come up with anything to prank?
I think I can.
All right. What would you like?
What kind of place would you like to call, McNally?
Yeah, I don't know. Would they got any suggestions on here? What's up with this?
Who on the internet has good ideas for things?
Yeah, we could try. We could try calling my house, see if anybody's awake.
At your hometown?
Yeah.
Your parents?
I mean, just I'll write down the number for you. Hold on.
Seriously?
Sure, why not?
Are you going to prank your dad?
Probably be my mom that answers. See, okay, I need an angle, though. What am I going to do?
You're the government trying to track you down.
Oh, yeah, well, that makes sense. I don't know. That's not going to work, though. And they're going to know my fucking voice, no matter if I try to do a stupid accent or something.
Relic, you're tracking down McNally.
Yeah, if somebody else wants to give it a try.
How about, no, Relic has kidnapped McNally.
Oh, my God, you can't do that.
And you can make, oh, my God, you can't do that.
It will lead you in the right direction.
Yeah, tell your parents if the government calls, you don't know where you are. Does that make sense? How come your home phone number is a 1-800 number?
I don't know, even if I didn't prank, like if I just did it as myself, I could still give them some crazy ass story. What would be good?
I do like it that you guys are like Canada is literally so much like, I guess not literally, Canada is so much like America's neighbor that borrows the lawnmower, to the point where your telephone numbers are basically just our telephone numbers, only they're Canada.
Yeah, we're
like
totally
you don't have
insane.
Your own country code.
This no, we're all North America. Yeah, it's all the same.
Oh, we have a phone call coming in. You always want to take that one?
Yeah,
you should tell your dad that your roommate's an asshole and he left.
Hello, you're on the Keith and the Girl show.
Hi, it's AT&T Internet Relay, CA1419. Boom. And I have a relay call for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Relay it then, bitch.
Send. All right, yeah, these calls are bullshit.
Are they still on, though?
No, I just hung up on
them. I was going to say, yeah, so...
Dude, we've been dealing with them all morning. They're such bullshit.
Really?
Yeah.
Adam fucking owned them.
People are bringing up a lot of the Call My Old Porn Store, but it closed. It's a bubble tea place now.
Call your parents. Whoa.
This is Keith McNally's parents. Ready?
Tell them your roommate ditched.
I don't know. Now that the phone's ringing, I'm like, what can I say to my parents? I don't know. This might not be so good. It is Sunday morning. Maybe nobody's awake. There's no answering machine.
Hello?
Hey, who am I talking to?
Pardon?
Hey, who's this?
Well, who's this? You called me.
I can't go through with this. Hey, it's Keith. What's going on?
Oh, hello, Keith.
We're doing a 72-hour epic podcast at Keith and Hemda's house, and I don't know. They were looking for numbers to prank call, and the only number I know is your number, but I'm too big of a wuss. I can't prank call my own parents.
You were going to prank call me on a Sunday morning?
But I don't even know what I would do. I was like, I don't know, going to pretend I needed money or I was homeless or strung out on drugs or something. I don't know. Male prostitute. You know, like, or try to put on an accent.
But listen, pull the prank and I'll play along. How about that?
Hey, hi, my name's Hemda. I'm a friend of your son's. Can we get some really embarrassing things about him?
Oh, embarrassing things about him? Oh, like, geez, I don't think there is anything embarrassing about him.
He was gonna prank you. That's not nice. Why don't you get back at him?
Hey, it is Father's Day, right? But I'm guessing Dad's still sleeping.
Yes, it is Father's Day, yes, and Father is still sleeping. Hmm.
Yeah, I can't even think of embarrassing stories about myself. I mean, I would tell them. I'm not shy, but I don't know.
Embarrassing things about you.
I remember you walked in on me masturbating once when I was 12, maybe? Do you remember
that? Yeah, but that's kind of a common thing for...
I guess it's going to happen eventually, right? I mean, 12-year-olds are jerking off all the time, so...
Yeah, and it certainly didn't shock me. I mean, it was kind of expected.
I do remember, too... I don't know, this is weird random memory, but I remember the only time you ever criticized any music I ever listened to was...
When you were masturbating to it?
Yeah, exactly. I was listening to Alice in Chains, and I just remember you looked at the tape, and you were like, I don't know about the name of this band. And I was like, it's fine. And you said, all right. And that was it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you weren't very repressive. I don't know, see, that's the thing is, I've been thinking about this lately, is you were really very lenient with both of us, and it worked really well with me, and it worked really bad with Mark. You know, he went off the fucking rails.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, obviously. Well, let's stroke my ego. I'm clearly the good son, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. No question.
Well, let me ask you about this, because I kind of forgot about this. I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. Did I tell you this? That I met a girl named Ian, I-Y-N?
Yes, you did tell me that.
Isn't
you sent
that
a picture
fucking
of everybody
wacky?
Out there. You look like you're at an airport or
that was the,
a field
New Jersey,
somewhere.
That was the demolition derby that we went to in New Jersey. Yeah, while you're slaving away back in New Brunswick, I'm having adventures.
That's
not
what the
working.
Airport looks like in Canada?
A little bit, yeah. It's fairly rural.
Well, I have one question for you. Mm-hmm. At the end of June, does that mean they're booting you out, though?
No, because, I sent you a quick email about this, but I was reading the fine print, and I can stay for up to 8 months as long as my visa extension is in processing. And since,
okay.
And since all I'm looking for is a temporary extension, that's actually as good as an okay. So I'm actually kind of hoping they don't even get back to me till at least August so I can just go on that cruise and not have to worry about coming back to Canada and coming back again.
What do you think?
Well, that's good then.
That is good. What do you think are the top three things that Keith can improve on about himself?
Yeah, that's fair. Lay those on me.
His ego.
Really?
You might want to rein it in a little
bigger.
Bit.
Really? Okay. All right. Now, what makes you say that?
Oh, he's a little bit struck on himself.
You think one of the first things he said to you was, I'm the good son, right?
You should have heard Thursday night I was on here and we had a big argument. And even after like an hour of arguing, I refused to see the other side. I would not.
The only other thing he can improve on would be...
too handsome?
Oh, his attitude's about Ayn Rand, for God's sake. He could be a little more open to listening to other people's views on that.
It's not my fault she's the only good writer in the history of the world.
There, see what I mean?
It's all right, we all know
what
she sucks.
What a huge flaw. Stop talking about that author.
Well, the funny thing is we all know that she's terrible.
I don't. That's the problem.
You don't know it yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know it yet.
He doesn't know it. Yeah, nice. He doesn't know it yet.
I remember, though, we had a similar discussion like 10 years ago where you're like, you'll see someday. I still haven't seen and I never will see. So, let's see. What else can we talk about?
What was the most difficult thing about raising Keith?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Did he take too long to learn
how to poo? Hatred of school. After grade 6, he felt he never had any need for it.
I don't think I was
But he
wrong.
Continued to go until grade 12 when he actually quit school 3 weeks before the final.
Yeah, you remember I ran away for like, what was that, like 3 days?
Yeah. There was the old, mother pulled the old thing, if you don't go and finish that last 3 weeks, then you can just leave home, and he did.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, man, I went and sucked around, and I felt, now that was embarrassing for me to do that.
Wait, what do you mean you fucked around? What does that mean?
I sucked around and groveled with you and pleaded with you just to finish the last 3 weeks. And you did.
Do you know, now that the more research I've done about school, I should have totally, like in 10th grade, just done a GED equivalency thing. I could have skipped straight to university, which I wouldn't have, but I could have. The whole thing just makes so much more sense. Also, I should point out, sometimes people, I mean, it shocks me when I talk to people who enjoyed high school, but my high school had like 2,500 kids in it. It's the biggest school in the British fucking Commonwealth. It's a nightmare. So I don't think it was all my fucking fault that school sucked.
Was he always so sensitive?
Was he always so sensitive?
Yeah.
He's what he is today is how he has always been.
Really?
Just like a little adult, sort of, or a little half adult. But now that I'm an adult, that's a problem. It was a little bit impressive.
Yeah, always was like a kind of a very mature person, even as a little small boy, very, very like a little grown up, like a little old man.
I do remember one time you had some friends over. I don't know who, Brian Logie maybe or somebody, and it was before I knew how to read. But I remember I went into the room you guys were all hanging out in and pretended to have to read a book. I thought it would look impressive.
That's so funny. Did you do you ever regret letting Keith play video games his whole life?
No.
I did have a temper about those, though. Man, back in the day, I was the one thing that made me mad is video games. Yet to this day, I love them. It's like my favorite memory of being a kid.
I don't have any regrets there.
You didn't want us to have video games. My dad had to sneak us the video
games. But that was a thing between Neil and myself. That had nothing to do with you guys.
Really?
That was Neil going behind my back. And.
But why didn't you want us to have video games?
Because I thought you both were one thing. I thought you had too many of them.
Well, initially we didn't have any. But yeah, it's true. We had everything.
Once you started, that was, I thought you should be out doing a little more well-rounded things rather than staying home all the time with the tube. And I would say to Neil not to go and buy those things, and then he'd sneak around and get them behind my back.
Well, I remember this one day really, really clearly when we had the Sega Master System and we'd just gotten a bunch of new games. And you remember how Dad used to, we had like that joystick and he would actually clamp it to the table so it was like an arcade machine? And Sunday morning, we fucking get up and you're dragging us to goddamn church, me and my brother. And he's got like bacon cooking in the next room and he's playing Thunderblade and he's just like, see you later, kids. That just burned in my head. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
As I said, I wanted you to be a little more well-rounded, and I was fighting a losing battle.
Yeah, I never really played sports or any of that shit. I remember you were always like, I don't know, I did the Beavers and Scouts for a little while, but I gave up on that too. Didn't like it.
Oh, you guys got Scouts up there too?
Yes, we do.
Interesting. Copying America again.
Yeah, we do. We do copy America quite a lot.
What do you think about Keith moving to New York for a while?
Do you miss me?
I think it's a wonderful experience. I think everybody should get experiences while they're young, because once they tie themselves down and have children and all of that, your life changes and you have to put all that kind of thing on hold. So,
as you know all too well, eh? Wow. We fucking we ruined you, Mom.
What do you think is the most difficult thing about having children in general? Like, what would you warn somebody else who's about to become a mother?
The most difficult thing is I guess when I thought I would be kind of saying 20 years, I'd say when I had children, I'd say, well, okay, for the next 20 years, I'm responsible for somebody else. What I'm learning is it turns into a lot longer than 20 years.
Wow.
But you're always a mother.
I love it.
I'm running into people who have children who are in their 30s and their 40s, and those people, their children are still their children, and they're always like in there, like, go away, kid, grow up. I say and they're that. Not. They're always there.
I say that all the time. Nobody listens to me. An actual mother, ladies and gentlemen. An actual mother. Yes.
Do you think you're still mothers of people who are in their 30s because you let them play so many video games?
No, absolutely not. I think mothers are always mothers because there's something in our biological makeup where we have a hard time cutting the strings, and our kids sometimes know that and take advantage, keep coming around. But it doesn't matter. We'll always be mothers. I'm sure women who are in their 90s and have children in their 70s still have that connection, bond.
I was thinking this the other day that, you know, it was always vaguely in the back of my head that I was like, wow, I hope my parents just spend all their money before they die because I don't even want to inherit it.
That's my plan.
Good, because I would just feel guilty. But then I even realized by the time you guys pass away, I'm going to be like 50. I'm going to be an old man. Like, I really can't bank on this at all. I do need to fucking make my own life. I don't know. It only just occurred to me lately. Maybe that's
why. Well, that would be a plan.
Yeah.
But you see, I'm also a big believer in that. I think everybody's traveling like 10 years behind their time anyway. And I'm not the only one who thinks that. There's been articles written in Time magazine about it. Like everybody who is now, okay, Keith, you're 28.
Right, so that's the new 18.
You could pass for 18.
What do you think Keith should be doing that he's not?
At Keith's age, at 28, no, I'm quite satisfied with what Keith's doing. I think he should be doing what
That's
he's
huge.
Doing now.
Did you guys get around to watching the Keith and the Girl All Over the Place DVD?
Neil saw it, but I didn't see it yet.
No, of course not. Because you don't love me. You don't care what I do.
Speaking of strings.
It's real good anyway. I did a fine job.
I'll definitely get to looking at it.
Do you know that they were trying to actually give Keith a special pass for the subway because he can't fit his ego entirely into a train?
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
You know,
however, I'm sure there's a whole lot of people in New York who are just like that, and they'd love to have the special pass for the same reason.
You know, my
that's very true.
This is just a back burner idea, but my roommate mentioned to me that if I did want to come back to the United States, one idea might be if you go to school in the U.S., it's really easy, much easier to get, you know, entry. Like, he knows a girl from, like, Venezuela who can barely speak English, but she's taking classes here, so she gets in.
Your roommate sounds like an idiot.
I don't know. I was thinking that might not be a bad idea. I mean, I really don't care for school very much, but it wouldn't kill me, right? And it might be, I don't know, it might be an idea.
You never know. You might start taking some core courses and find that you quite like them.
Like, maybe I'll find out that people can teach me things.
Maybe.
You realize that after, like, high school, you get to choose what you study.
And I chose to study life.
Yeah, no, but like you don't stop studying life when you go to college.
I guess.
You choose to study something specific.
Right. That's although,
and actually, from my experience of going to college, is you really learn more in just the college world.
Right.
You learn a whole lot more there than you ever learn in the classroom.
Right. The social
but it
atmosphere.
It is a whole great learning experience.
You learn how to do keg stands and get all fucked up.
No, but I mean, it doesn't hurt that now you're in New York City. Like, New York City
you just
can
learn about life.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it's an idea. It's something. Although I know another guy who he does sound production and stuff in Ontario, and he was saying that I should just try to get in on some ground level on like TV production or something, and then they would pay me to learn shit.
See,
and
I think that I like that better.
Yes, I'd be stuck in Canada.
I don't think that you're randomly going to be like, oh, look at that. I am into education.
Right.
Thank you for telling me to write this paper.
Hey, can you tell us about that real quick, Mom? You were a teacher, right? For how long? 3 years?
2 years.
2 years. So you went through all the school to become a teacher, and then you were like, wow, this is just not working
out. No. That's not why I became a teacher.
Right.
I became a teacher because after I had my BA, I said, no, what am I going to do with this? I could take a master's. Now that didn't interest me, and had a student loan to pay and didn't really want to go out into the work world yet. Well, maybe I'll take my Bachelor of Education degree. So I did. So when I got that, it was like, well, still got that student loan. And, yeah, well, what do I do now? So I applied to teach, and I did. I paid off the student loan. And then it was like, do I want to do this forever? Well, no. So
then
Neil
became...
had applied to law school, so I applied to law school.
I was going
to
say, it's kind of crazy.
A joke. I never thought I'd get in, and I did. So I said, well, okay, might as well go do that now.
Yeah, I mean, a teacher and a lawyer, that's a pretty good fucking resume. It's better than my fucking porn store resume by a long shot.
How did you know he worked at a porn star?
Yeah, because that's one thing I was curious about, because I'm sure I never told you I worked at a porn store, but you divined it somehow.
Well, I think you did tell me.
I just can't see why I would have.
Well, why not?
I told you I worked at it. Maybe it's because I said, like, I worked at a video store, and I was very nonspecific about the reality of what it was.
Keith, your ego is so big, and you'd be so pleased with yourself about having to tell somebody you worked in a porn store. You would have told me that. And I remember you telling me about the kind of people that would go in there and hang around and hang around and hang around.
Did I really? Wow. Because I
said, yeah, I can imagine what kind of guys those are.
I did think it was like part of the ultimate resume. I remember I applied to Excitement Video in Fredericton, and they didn't take me. I thought it'd be so cool to work there. Turns out porn store is not that cool to work.
Where do you think he got his ego from?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I think he may have inherited some of it.
Yeah. It wasn't from Dad. Let's just put it that way.
I do like the
I'll make no further comment on that about egos and how big they can be.
She's so
but I'm sure you can read between the lines.
On the radio right now. I bet my mom is loving this.
I do like the phrase pleased with himself. I think that's the perfect way to describe Keith McNally.
Is that so bad, though? Doesn't that sound nice?
You're
sounds
so pleased
pleasant,
with yourself.
Like waves lapping against the beach. Could be a lot worse.
Well, and I have to say, he was always quite pleased with himself, and that's why he's become such a... He's really quite a nice boy, but, and that's...
Let me ask
because
you about
this. He always kind of knew where he was at with himself.
Well, see, everybody thinks that, but that's a dirty lie. I mean, I might give off the vibe that I know what I'm doing with my life, but I never have. But I don't know. I guess you can fake it. And
no, but it's that ego that gives you that confidence of coming across so you convince people that you are like that.
How long did it take him to potty train?
Oh, Keith, potty train. Not bad. Not too bad.
I only have Allie to go by as an
example. Yeah, I think Keith was potty trained before he was 2 years old.
Really nice. Because, I think Allie was like 2 and a half, right, before we got her. That's all.
Yeah.
She's the only kid I know, so it's the only person I can.
No, and little boys usually, they say, are slower to learn that kind of thing than little girls. But, you know, I'd say around, you know, two-ish. It's not something where I say, oh, my God, this kid's never going to get out of the diaper.
As opposed to my brother, who was still pooping his pants well into his, like, 20s. 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, well, you might have been having streaks on the backside, too, for all I know, for years later.
I'm going to say that I didn't, but...
How do you teach a child about sex? How do you educate them about sex? Is it weird to decide to have that conversation, or do you avoid it?
I don't think I avoided it. It wasn't anything where we ever sat down and said, okay, here we're having the formal conversation now.
Yeah, no, I think it mostly was left up to Dad's porn trunk.
Oh.
Yeah. No, the general things about sex, you just discuss them as they came along. Like, you know, you start with potty training, you discuss what the penis is and everything, when the kid's in the bathtub, you know. Just little things like that, so that I don't think the child was ever aware that they were ever learning anything.
And then,
of course, yes, he did discover a porn truck at some point in time.
I thought I was pretty clever. Remember how I learned how to bend the tine on a fork and I popped his lock open? I mean, he had a big lock on it, but it couldn't stop me because I'm a fucking locksmith, apparently.
And you're extremely pleased with yourself about this.
I was very pleased with that. But let me ask you this, Mom, because I've been thinking about this lately. I wonder if this, like, sabotages kids and sabotaged me in some way, where when...
You're so awesome.
Well, I went to French school, French immersion, which was automatically harder than normal school, and I still excelled mostly beyond. There was like, what's that kid's name? David Clark? He was pretty smart, but it was really just me and him in the class that were like tops. But
damn boy, down with the ego.
Well, no, I'm going somewhere with this, where if that gets laid on you enough as a kid, like, hey, look at this, you're clearly smarter than everybody else. You know, and teachers will do that to you. They'll, like, pull you aside. They don't want to make everybody else feel bad, but they're like, wow, I wish I had a whole class full of you. You're fucking getting this so great. And that gets in your head, like, hey, I'm Joe Genius. But it's little kid shit, you know? Like, by the time you grow up, you're no smarter than anybody else. But that's still in my head that, you know, that I was some kind of exceptional kid. And it's tough to kind of level that out when you grow up, because I'm not so much smarter than anybody else anymore.
Now
you have finally come to realize that.
I don't know that I ever really will, though. I think it kind of crippled me a little.
You're still an exceptional kid.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
You're an exceptional kid in a man's body.
But anytime, you know, if somebody is like giving me shit about something, or hey, you're not so, you don't know every goddamn thing, it's my initial response is always, well, I did know every goddamn thing in grade 2, and I still do, so fuck you, you know? It's really tough to get past that.
Well, maybe you don't ever have to get past it. Why don't you just carry that around with you?
I don't think it would have been better for them to tell me I was dumb when I was a kid, but I don't know. It's like, or like, you're such a great speech giver. So what? I gave a speech in the seventh grade that was good. Who fucking gives a shit? It doesn't matter. But
well, that must be. Maybe there's a bit of a heredity thing there too, because when I was young, my father, we hated having our last name Smart because everybody always ridiculed you for it in colleges.
I was disappointed.
And he
that
told
I got
me
McNally.
One day, all you say to them, Mill, is you're not smart, who is? And I thought, so he obviously had the ego too.
Man, I always wished I had your last name. Wouldn't that be great? Keith Smart? I love it. That's so much better than Keith McNally.
Why don't you go by Keith Smart, silly?
I guess, but now it would just seem like a fucking affectation. It would be so lame. I can't change my name, but if I just happen to have it.
We all know that Keith Smart is not going to stop you, especially.
I'm Keith Courage now. That's my name. Mm. But what was I going to say? Well, like, for instance, this whole, like, ego thing. You have a lot of brothers and sisters, right? You have, like, 12?
Yeah.
And
yeah, there's 12 of us.
I don't know that you've ever stated it directly, but I think it's pretty clear that you consider yourself top dog in the family. I mean,
I don't consider myself top dog, but I'm one of the top dogs.
Right. Well, yeah, but even like guys like Chris, I mean, it's a different kind. He's like the worldly smart, and you're the book smart, you know? Smart, isn't that funny? Because that's their last name. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's my last name. Well, there's another thing, I guess, on my part of ego. When I hated, it was a name I hated when I was a kid. But yet, when I got married, I certainly had the choice of taking the married name, and I chose not to.
Because you're hardcore. Yeah.
And that's from, you know, that's the early 70s when, you know, to take a stand like that, there weren't a lot of women doing it. Nowadays, a lot of women do it. But in those days, women didn't. But I did. I said, nah, you know, I think I'll keep this name after all this time. So there, I guess my ego was kicking in at that time. Again, if I'm not smart, who is?
Can I ask you, it's kind of personal, was that a big issue for your husband? Because that's a big deal usually for a guy.
No.
No?
After all, we're of the hippie generation, you know. We're old retrograde hippies, you know, went around with the flowers in her hair and the bell-bottom pants and
what
wild
was like?
Hairdos.
Was it what it's portrayed to be? Was it
hippiedom?
Really? Yeah.
It had, at the time when you're young, it seems to be the one and only way, you know, and everybody was right who was a hippie. But no, looking back, it had a lot of problems. But it was young people doing young people things.
Did you ever? I never asked you about this. I just presume not. But did you ever do like LSD and all that shit?
I didn't do LSD, but I did some other things.
Oh,
which was your favorite?
You know, it was the kind of thing that I never hung. It was like anything. You'd do it. I did it once and maybe twice, then that was it. I had no interest in doing it anymore. But like, most of my friends they just loved doing it, like, over and over and over again.
Just like weed and stuff? Is that what you mean? Like,
yeah, like the weed and...
You're still
around
kind of
that time. There was mostly marijuana was the big thing that was around, but there was LSD around. I had friends who took LSD all the time, and yet it never interested me to do it.
How did any one of your friends sort of... what's the question? Did it permanently do any
damage some of them?
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Definitely.
It's science. LSD, you are immediately have brain damage, and it leaves behind residual chemicals.
And some of them, who could tell if it did or not? Because I think they were damaged before.
Probably.
By the way, I don't think I introduced you to that other voice. That's Matt. He's a filmmaker.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh, hello there.
It's lovely to hang out with your son and his giant ego.
This is really interesting. It's I don't know why it's surprising to me that you're so open. Maybe because my parents wouldn't be. But it's very cool. Is this just naturally the way you guys talk normally?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, definitely, as far as our little family dynamic goes, me, my mom, my brother, and my dad, it's clearly me and my mom that actually are friends. And then the rest of the family, you know, I see him when I see him. Whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because at first I was counting how many times he said fuck in your presence. I was like, well, that's the third time, McNally.
Hey, you know, we talked about this the other day. We were talking about how people were, because this, like I said, this is like this 72-hour podcast. It's like a telethon. They started Thursday at 6, and we're on the home stretch. We got to go till 6 p.m.
today. By the way, if you want to donate,
Yeah, keithandthegirl.com/donate.
Oh, I was kidding.
But we were talking about how people were raised, because Keith Malley was raised with spankings and Hemda was raised with, like, you know, disapproving looks, kind of. And I totally got the spankings and the fucking, I got the soap in the mouth and all that horse shit.
So, you shouldn't have acted up.
Well, I was wondering, because I just presume, because of how I am now and I guess how I was as a kid, I don't know, was that really necessary? And I swear all the time now. I glory in fucking swearing, particularly around you, I think, because so much soap in the mouth.
Yes, but no, I don't think so. Besides, the word fuck doesn't have the same connotation that it used
to anyway.
As it
did in 1983.
It's like saying shit now.
So there's no swear words left. We're ruining it.
It doesn't actually mean fornicate anymore. It's just an expression now that is well overused, and it just kind of lost that shock element that it used to have.
You definitely are of the Canadian hippie generation. Because, seriously, anybody who's, like, from what in the U.S. we would call from the old world, like from either Europe or from, like, the Middle East or anything like that, they're parents of people who you know that are from
my mother would have dropped dead by now.
They would have, not only are any of these words unacceptable still, like, they can't even understand the idea of a word changing with time. Like, that doesn't exist. So there's a different, I mean, although I got to say that you definitely, your openness is instilled in your son, for sure. Like, for better or for worse, in this case.
But. Yeah, I fucking spilled my guts a few times on this fucking show. Christ. But
well, still, the other thing, too, is when I grew up in such a large family, and I'm in the middle, I'm sure that my older brothers and sisters, my older brothers especially, because they're about 10 years older than I am, I'm sure that they got treated entirely different than when we came along as this middle crew. And I'm sure by that time my parents were saying, oh, well, whatever, you know, just get me through this. Mm-hmm. Just get me so that they're grown up and out on their own. Because by that time, they had all those teenagers, because there were like five or six of us who were all teenagers at the same time. They had a whole bunch of little ones that they were raising, too.
I was going to say, like, Hemda's got a story like that where she has an older brother and a younger brother, and by the younger brother, the third kid, the parents kind of threw up their hands. So by the time you get to the eighth or ninth kid, yeah, you must be done. Like, just whatever.
You might just be saying, whatever. You guys just go do whatever you want, because I've got to change a diaper somewhere. Yeah. I've got to feed this one.
Was it like the older kids raising the younger kids?
There was a time, yeah, that the older kids did a lot of influencing of the younger kids.
I don't even know how the fuck your family pulled that off, because your dad worked for what was it? What's it when you cross the border, like a border guard?
A border crossing, a border guard.
How do you raise 13 kids on that? That's crazy.
Well, you men, do the man thing of you go to work and you come home at night and you have your meal and you watch TV and you go to bed and you might take the kids off a little bit, but
just put on the blinders.
The mother is on the scene every day. That poor soul. She's the one who has to drag them up.
So how did you have so many brothers and sisters? Was it a Catholic thing?
Well, my mother was Catholic. My father was
just like getting down.
But how did they have them? Well, that was something that was going on in their bedroom at night.
I understand that. Yeah, I got that figured out. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like crazy to me, like how many cousins and uncles and aunts and stuff I have. It's nuts.
Were you going to have more kids, but then Keith was so awesome that you're like, that's enough. That's
I wish that was enough. I wish you'd stopped at me. Having my brother was a goddamn mistake. I ain't afraid to say it. I mean, you didn't know at the time, but holy fuck, I wish it was just me.
Yeah, well, if I'd had only one, life would have been a little easier. But I foolishly believed that it's a good thing for somebody, a kid, to have another kid to grow up with.
I guess. I mean,
and I don't know that that's necessarily true.
You had so many brothers and sisters, though. I think, yeah, your view was clouded. I don't know. I'm sure I would bellyache about it either way. If I didn't have any brothers and sisters, I'd just complain about that. But I don't know.
It's funny, Keith. I always thought that you acted like an only child, though.
Well, I've been really cut off from my brother for years. I just can't even talk to him anymore. He's like, man, he's a mess. I feel a little bad about it sometimes, but I don't know. What can I do? Move away. That's what I did. That was my solution. He ain't my kid. Sorry about that, Mom and Dad.
Well, no, that's good. You're right. He's not your kid. He's not your responsibility.
I do remember I was pushing for a little while because he was just such a fucking pain in the ass. It's like, you gotta just cut this guy off. But you guys mentioned, or you mentioned, that really, I mean, he would likely die if he was on his own. So you kind of got no
choice.
He's
got a few mental issues he's got to sort out.
You kind of got to support him.
When did you start noticing that?
Oh, Well, I noticed that many, many years ago. I'm sure he was just a small little child. I knew there was something that was a little off.
Was it true, did I make this story up or did I really hear this, that he would, or maybe it was like Denise told me and it didn't really happen, but that he would like kind of throw tantrums and you had to put a pillow under his head so he wouldn't hit his head on the floor?
No, no, that's she made that up.
All right.
Well, yeah.
He was a little wacky.
Who made that up?
My aunt Denise, I don't know. She used to babysit us and I guess she highly exaggerated everything we did.
That's not nice.
I mean, she said I was
a
bad
kid. Oh, well, no, she might have had to do it when she was babysitting. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there.
I guess, yeah. So who knows?
Hmm.
Yeah, see, that's one thing is like only one of my aunts actually, or I guess two now, lived, very few members of our family live in our city because, as I understand it, Mom, you actually kind of made it a point to move away from the rest of your family to just kind of keep us separate somewhat. It's so weird.
No, well, that wasn't it either. It's that when I got to be in high school, we lived on Campobello Island, which is a small, small little island.
How many people live there?
There's about 1,200 people there.
Wow. See, so that's even less than Somerset, where fucking Keith Malley grew up. That is small.
And it's an island.
Didn't want to be there forever. I didn't want to, because the only thing you could work at there was in the fish factory. Most people got married. They were, like when I moved there, people were, kids who were 17 and 18 were engaged to be married, and they did get married. And they had children, and that was all they did. And I thought, I didn't want to ever do that. I had things to do.
You know, not
so I decided I was leaving, and I did when I was 17. I left and went to university, and I said, I'm never going back, and I never did.
Well,
whereas most of the others stayed there, and the girls in our family married people. They might have gone like a short distance away, but most of them are still living in that area.
It is kind of crazy. Like, I can't even emulate the accent. Like, when we go visit people there, it's so different. It's this really weird, unique, I don't know, like hillbilly accent.
What's the name of the area?
Campobello Island. And to get there, you have to actually travel through the U.S., through Lubeck. And then, so there's like, just to leave the island, you go across a border. It's really weird.
Wow.
It's very isolated. It doesn't have a McDonald's. That's my favorite way to describe how small it is.
Wow.
Although now, speaking of accents, Hemda, now you wouldn't consider it an accent, but you have that New York sound.
Doesn't she sound so
that
jappy?
That I see on TV.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. What do you mean?
So you don't consider that an accent. And you might be listening to my voice and saying she has some kind of an accent.
I get so much shit about the out and about.
The out and about.
I don't even think my outs are so bad, but they're bad
So that's
enough.
Why I don't want to call yours an accent, because you live there. And that is how people speak in New York, I guess, because I see it on TV. Mm-hmm. And now I can hear it in your voice.
I've recognized so much. I didn't realize how much of TV is like, when I watch Seinfeld now, I'm like, wow, everything about this show is so New York. And I had no idea before.
Did you like Seinfeld before you knew that New York was really like that?
Yeah,
was
of course.
It still funny?
It was classic, of course.
All right.
What was I just going to ask you, Mom? Something. Fuck. Campobello. Oh, yeah. I was just going to tell you that I still hear from Colleen once in a while. She watches my YouTube videos, her and Carson. They leave me little comments. It's kind of nice. But on the other hand, I got a comment that just said, like, hey, this is your cousin. I didn't know you were so funny. And it's like, you're going to have to fucking narrow that down. There's 30 of you. I don't know who you are.
There's Keith using that F word again.
That's how he gets all the funny out on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. I still think swearing is hilarious to this day. I don't know. But I always will
That's
be.
With the soap, man. Without the soap, there's no funny.
I should thank you for that, I guess. Yeah, it still has that visceral effect on me.
Well, you might as well tell them about the squirt bottle in the face, too. I used to use that as a discipline, too.
You're going to have to remind me about that one.
Wow. That's like stopping a cat.
I used that on my dogs to discipline my dogs.
Man.
You just have a little squirt bottle with water in it.
Well, I knew that.
And
you didn't do that to
quite
us,
a shock
though,
element
right?
to get the little squirt bottle in the face.
Did you do
I
that
used
to
that
us?
On you guys once or twice.
Wow. How did that work?
You don't
work?
Remember that?
No, I really don't. And I mean,
it's kind of a little shot. Doesn't hurt anybody, but boy, it sure brings you around pretty fast.
It is kind of inevitable, I think, with kids. Eventually, something's going to happen. Because, like, I babysat Allie for 8 months, and I only spanked her once. But it's like sometimes it's just like, kid, you need to stop. Like, it's just I felt kind of bad about it, but I don't know. Eventually, it's inevitable, right? I don't know.
Well, I'm not opposed to that occasional slap across the backside. I don't think you should.
Yeah, and it's not like I was like
somebody right down
her, yeah.
and pound them.
Exactly. It's just like one quick little strike to sort of shock her. And it worked.
Yeah,
she was
but
like, what
that little grabbing somebody and giving them a little crack across the backside every once in a while to show them you're the boss, because everybody says, oh, my God, you should never touch a child. But sometimes the words don't do it. And sometimes that little, like, slap, like, I'm in charge, really has a lot of impact. And a little squirt from a water bottle, same thing.
That just makes me sound like such an animal. I've got the bottle, kid. Do you remember one time me and my brother, I don't know, we were old enough, I must have been at least 12, but we got in like a knockdown, drag-out brawl up in the fucking balcony of the church. Just like, fuck you, motherfucker, asshole. And I remember
we weren't using those words, but yeah, I do remember.
Because I remember we were super mad at each other, but as soon as we cooled down a little, we were like, oh my God, maybe we don't have to go to church anymore. This is brilliant. And it turns out we did still have to go to church every week. Did I ever tell you my plan I came up with, that if I had had more wherewithal as a kid, I would have tried, of just like the Gandhi style total passive resistance? Like, if I had had the discipline to just lay in bed and make you dress me and drag me to the car and drag me into church for weeks on end, I think that would have worked.
It would have. But it would have worked.
Little kids don't think of that shit, but still. And I told the story before of how I was the only kid in my confirmation class who had the balls to not be confirmed, even though everybody else knew it was a sham and was just going along, but I actually didn't do it.
Were you upset about that?
No, I wasn't, but I would have been upset. In fact, I didn't think he would even go, but I made him go to all the classes.
Yeah.
Because I said that, how can you decide whether you should do or not or be or not if you don't know what you're talking about? Which was my whole idea behind church. If you want to choose not to become church-related, okay, that's fine, but how do you know if what you should be doing if you don't know anything about it? So go and learn about it. So he did.
Wasn't your original...
That year, when he went and did the confirmation thing, I didn't expect him to go, and he called me up at home and said, could I bring him down a decent shirt or something down to the church, because I was going to be working a reception at it. And I said, what's all that about? Thinking, oh, my God, he's not going to go. Well, the teacher had convinced him that he should go and just see what the ceremony itself was about. And I thought, oh, my God,
I think it was,
this kid's got a lot of balls, because I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If I decided I wasn't going to go through with the thing, I would not go and sit there and sit that out.
Well, do you remember
that?
Oh,
anyway, he did. He went through the whole ceremony, walked in with them, he sat there with them, and when they all went up to get the little sign of the cross on the head or whatever.
I gave them the finger and tipped over the...
You didn't give them the finger, but you sat it out. He mm-hmm. sat right there and didn't go and do it, and I thought, I have a lot of respect for that.
Well, I think how he convinced me... What was that guy's name? It wasn't Mr. Sexsmith, it was his buddy. What
Coburn.
Was Mr. Coburn,
Wayne
right?
Coburn.
It was that there was this one lady in the class who was like an adult, and the rest of us were all ninth graders, and she didn't have anybody to go with her, basically. And that's how he convinced me. I was like her chaperone or something. I was like, all right, whatever, sure. But
well, I have to say, to this day, I have a lot of respect for that, because you stood by your guns of what you didn't want to do, and you didn't do it, and...
Wasn't your original plan, if I remember right, to like kind of switch churches every couple of years to give us an array or something, and then you just stuck with
No, I never
things?
Did, but I always thought I should have.
Right. That would have been kind of cool, I guess, because I really did think Pentecostal churches were a whole lot more fun than our fucking boring church. You got to admit, our church was boring. There's no two ways about that.
But I didn't care. Like, you did go to the Pentecostal church a couple of times, and that was fine with me, too. Right. You know, I just wanted you to get an experience and learn a lot about those things and make up your mind.
But I even remember, like, I went to church on Campobello, and even that I liked better, just because the priest seemed so much more, you know, connecting to people and talking about actual shit that made some kind of sense, not just reading fucking Bible shit. Man.
Yeah, those were American priests that we had over there, and I have to say, every one of them was very to the point, and I always liked those guys, too.
Do you remember this one?
Hey, Mrs. Smart, I'm not sure that I'm going to get to hear the end of this phone call, because I have to check out for a second, but thanks for being so cool.
Thank you for thinking I'm so cool.
Well, you are, and unfortunately that gives Keith McNally more points and blows up his head a little bit more, but I think we have to accept it, because this has been, I don't know, maybe the coolest conversation I ever had with somebody's mom.
Oh, well, thank you, Hamda. It was nice speaking to you.
Thank you. Thanks for...
And hearing your New York voice.
I don't hear it at all.
Of course
it's
you
so
don't.
It's so weird. I really
don't. Of course
don't.
You don't.
I guess, right? All right. Well, I'll check you later, and thanks a lot.
Okay. All right.
Have a good day.
All right.
I think the funnier thing out of all this now is that McNally, you got no excuses now.
About what?
No excuses. Any of the crap that you pull, what, no like, excuses. I know how you were raised. You were raised right.
Yeah, I had functional parents. Yes, but I had no excuse.
No excuses.
So, yeah, if you get bored of this mom at any point, let me know. But we got to go for another, what do we got, 9 more hours?
Yeah, you go and do your
right, we got time to fill those. So it's a nice excuse. Although I really got to go to the bathroom, but I don't necessarily want to hang up. So I don't know.
So do you think that...
Yeah, hold on. I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick. Can you talk to Matt for a sec? I'll be right back.
Okay, sure. I'm sure I can, Matt.
Have you ever met any of Keith's girlfriends?
I did meet a girl that Keith brought from Vancouver.
While
lovely, lovely
there.
Young woman.
She was hot, am I right? Okay, I'm going.
Yeah, and you know, there's girls that he knew around here, but I don't know that they would necessarily be girlfriends. They were just friends who were girls.
Right, but
I think
you met
he was quite serious about this girl from Vancouver, and he brought her home for a little visit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think their relationship lasted too long after that, 6 or 8 months maybe. But she was young, and he was. I think he found her. I think he found her a little too young. You know. She was a kid. She was about 18 or 19, I think. But she was a nice girl.
Has Keith McNally talked, I'm sorry, has your son expressed to you how he feels about New York City and how things changed a little bit when he started getting involved with this girl named Ayn?
No, he hasn't talked to me much about Ayn at all.
Would you like me to fill you in?
No, sure.
I'm sure he has no problem talking about her either. But we all, well, he met her through some friends of the show here that we're in the middle of doing. And in addition to that, she's actually a very sophisticated girl. She seems like a lot of fun whenever I hang out with him and her together. And I think that I think he's in a very interesting point in his life. As far as meeting people and interacting with them in a very specific way, which because he said that he was used to being really comfortable being around someone a lot, like almost every day, and then ending up in a relationship with them. And this is a very new experience as far as I know for him. And he's just returned from the bathroom and he wants to talk about it.
Yeah. I assume you're talking about the fact that Ayn has a job and can't hang out with
me
all the time.
Not just that, but that you don't work with her.
Yeah, that's right.
No, the other thing too is you're at an age now, Keith, that you're probably looking for a little more stable and service, a stable and long lasting relationship because of your age.
That is something.
Whereas when you were going out with girls before, you may have been looking for that too, but you know, I find that guys at 24, 25 oftentimes get tied down, but don't really, they're not really ready for it.
Well, that's really part of my sickness, I think, is I just presume everything will be forever all the time. And it's weird with this particular relationship because it's impossible. I mean, I'm going back to Canada and it's kind of nice in a way because it keeps it automatically casual. I mean, there's no other way for it to be, you know?
Are you going back to Canada? You just said, I'm going back to Canada.
Eventually, I'm going to have to, at least for a while. I mean, on a lifetime scale, I'll figure out how to come back. I'm not going to live my whole goddamn life in Canada. No offense, Ma.
What if Ayn asks you to move to, like, somewhere else with her? Like,
no,
Europe?
See, I really think moving with somebody is probably a huge mistake.
Well, what if you're moving anyway?
I mean,
and then
I
she's like, I'm going to move to London. You want to go?
That'd be cool. If it was a neutral spot, but if she moved to Canada with me, that
no,
would
that's
be
not what
terrible.
I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying at all.
But, yeah, no, I don't know. I think we're both aware that this is just, it's kind of a fling, really. A New York fling.
So your mom
is she an American girl?
Yeah, she's from
or
Florida.
Or she from somewhere else?
Yeah, she's a Florida girl.
Florida.
Yeah, she's totally cool. just saying.
Your mom said that she met one of your girlfriends who was fairly young from Vancouver.
Yeah, she was. That was Erica. She looked like we were the same age because she had a British father. She had like those kind of British features that just make you look older. But yeah, it was like a 6-year difference, and it inevitably became a problem that she was just way
Your
younger.
Mom said that was what became the problem, was that it was
she was young. She had a lot of growing up to do.
Well, like, do you remember, Ma, we went to, what's the place with the awesome hot wings, Mama's Pub? And, like, Erica seemed so together, but then you just little things, like we did karaoke and she was just falling apart. She was so nervous to do it. Just those little things that she's just like, I don't know, maybe that's a weird example, but
yeah, she was just a kid. She was a nice girl, though, really nice girl.
She's getting married.
But when I don't ever expect relationships, like if like what you're telling me about this new girl that you're with, Keith, to me that's just, if you tell me someday that you're going to get married, then I'll say, oh, must have been serious.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's
must be serious.
And it is. I mean,
but it's, I'm not like most women who, oh my God, my son's got a girlfriend. Isn't that fabulous? And then the mother starts making the plans for the long term relationship. No, I'm not there. I will never be there.
I think that most mothers aren't like that anymore. I think that that's like a cartoonish version of what mothers used to be.
Not really.
Like that.
There's a lot of women that are my age whose sons pick up with some girl and they go out with them for a couple of weeks. And I'm telling you, the mothers are now talking about, oh, and I have my first grandchild. Mm-hmm. And my God, it's just a casual relationship that the guy and the girl have.
Yeah, I think you can consider Allie your grandchild in my case, because I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
and that's fine with me, too.
How's she doing, by
I'm
the
in
way?
No hurry to be a grandmother.
Everything's still going well? Is Dan still working for you guys?
Yeah.
Cool. Everything going good with Allie?
Yeah, she's off to
PEI?
Charlottetown or right. Prince Edward Island with her mother this week.
I've been making a little video for her. As soon as it's done, I'm going to send it to her. Do you remember that thing I used to do where I pretend my nose was electric? If she touched my nose, it would electrocute
me. Yeah.
So when Matt Jenkins was just here for like a few days, we started filming a thing where in front of famous monuments, my nose is stuck on electrocute. So he would just electrocute me.
Oh, she will get a real charge out of that because she really enjoyed that one you sent us where you were skating.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was the Keith and Girl TV. We were just skating around. But yeah, this one will be specifically for her, although I'll probably put it on the internet also. It's pretty much, I mean, obviously I miss you guys to an extent, but really Allie's the only thing I really miss about Fredericton.
Well, okay, I guess I can live with that. As long as you're doing what you're having a good time, enjoying yourself and learning a few things in life.
I am lately. New York sucked balls at first, though. It was a tough transition, but it's getting better.
You do still need to get out of the house more.
Yeah, probably.
You do.
I live in fucking Queens, though. It's brutal. It takes me an hour to get anywhere.
Agreed. And maybe that'll change between now and the actual time that you end up leaving New York. Maybe it won't. But either way, you do understand that when you leave the house, things change drastically.
Right.
Like, as far as, I don't know how you felt about going out in Brooklyn in my neighborhood with me, but like you said, it felt
fun.
Familiar.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there's something different about it, too.
Right.
You know, there's so many young people. There's so many different kinds of young people, you know? So, I don't know. Your son definitely does need to get out of the house a little bit more.
Yeah, he's a bit of a recluse.
A little bit.
Which is fine, but
in to
New
a
York
degree,
City,
that.
Right. In New York City is what he needs a little bit of.
You're Excuse from me. New York, are you, Matt?
No, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in a really tiny town, probably as small, if not maybe a little larger than the island that maybe you're from, but it's not an island, it's a town called Mohawk, like the haircut. near Cooperstown, New York, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
Yeah.
Isn't that a cool name?
Is that up in the mountains?
It's like the foothills of the Adirondack Mountains.
Yeah, they've heard of the Tragically Hip there. That's
actually the Tragically Hip are pretty big and like upstate New York is virtually like suburbs of Toronto mixed with suburbs of New York City.
Yeah, sure they are. I've never been there, but
it's right in between those two areas.
So, of course, if you're getting bored, let me know anytime if you got stuff to do. But like I said, we've got to fill hours of time. So, if you don't mind more random questions, I was always curious.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you ever want to have a daughter? Was that kind of the hope after you had one boy? You're like, hey, maybe the next one will be a girl?
No. Neil always wanted to have a daughter, but I didn't care.
Yeah,
no.
See, I knew he did. I've hypothesized about that before. But I don't know. Do you think it would have been better to have a girl, or are you happy with two dudes?
No, two fellas were okay with me. I know I didn't care to have a daughter at all.
Well, you know, it's been.
And I guess because hey, I was a girl. I know exactly what all that was about. Oh God, I couldn't imagine the teen years with a daughter. Hey,
it's kind of been brought to my attention though that I, in some ways, have a very sort of female disposition in some ways in my mindset about stuff. I don't know. Do you think that was just how I am, or was I raised that way?
I think all men have a little bit of a female disposition to them.
I do remember you teaching me how to knit when I was little. I think maybe that's what did it.
Oh, yes, of course, that's what did it. No, I think all males have, I think all people have a feminine side and a masculine side to them.
Well, but of course, like gay talk
biologically, we're set up differently.
Right.
Because you get some women who are extremely aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You get some men who have a, who show a, you know, a sensitive side, which is considered to be a female trait. And then you have men who definitely have sensitive traits, but they hide it all the time because that's that macho thing.
So I just I sent a text message to Ayn telling her that I'm talking to my mom on the air right now, and she just replied, "Ah." So I just got points.
Yeah, see.
Tell her you're talking to your
response.
Mom.
Like, oh, isn't it cute?
And tell her you're talking to your mom about her.
Yeah, I'll just text
back. You won't get
back.
The same text.
I was just discussing with my mom how you're just a fling who I'm throwing my dick in, and it ain't going to last, baby. I'm not going to say that. That's silly.
So do you think that what do you think of Keith's new sort of community of friends down here? What do you think? Like, not myself necessarily, but like this whole world that he's sort of in right now.
You know, I got to say, it's quite strange having people refer to me as Keith, because since there's another more famous Keith, I'm always McNally. But for today, I get to be Keith when I talk to my mom. It's nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, you get to be your personal self.
It's quite weird when someone
I think you really should try to just own the name Keith Smart as well.
Keith Smart, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, if you want it, take it.
Yeah, not only that, like, it's a nice tribute to your mom.
I remember when I was seeing that girl Erica, her name was Erica Bland. So as like a joke, I called her Erica Action. So it would be a more interesting last name.
Erica Spicy.
So I remember the book I was working on at the time. I was like, I should totally dedicated to Erica Action and Barb Smart. Because doesn't that sound like a superhero team? It would just be a cool sounding dedication. Then I broke up
with
her. What
do I think of the people he's connected up? Well, from what I know of everybody seems to be a completely different personality. It sounds like he's really got a whole... like wide variety of connections down there, and I think it's just great. Like everybody, I can tell when he says a certain name, I don't confuse it with somebody else. And I've never even met any of you people. I've seen a few things on the video, but I can immediately connect as to, oh yeah, that's that guy and that's that guy, because everybody seems so different.
It's true. We're radio personalities now. We're not even real people anymore. We're cartoons.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is like a morning show, radio show for New York City at this point, right now. I don't know. I think that's fair to say, especially with this group of people that he's around all the time, that they're definitely all strong, different personalities, I think.
Well, I remember when I first met Ayn. See, it's weird because she doesn't actually know the show, which is weird. I thought my internet celebrity would get me chicks, and it totally didn't. But she was like, wow, what's with all these weird internet nerds that listen to this show? And I was like, listen, you got to understand, we are the uber nerds who made it to the top. So I can't badmouth them too much, because we just went so much further that now we're on the show, you know?
And speaking of nerds, don't you find that so weird in this society that nerds are now the
top dogs?
The top dogs of entertainment, whereas, oh, let's say, not even a generation ago, 15 years ago, when you guys were in school and that.
You guys,
nerds were like, oh, my God, nobody had any use for you. You all had the big glasses and you were just like the low lifes of the society, and now you've taken right over. And girls are all chasing after guys with big black rimmed glasses. And
it's true, yeah, like that Weezer look.
And the guy that was on the beach who was the big cool dude before with the big muscles, it's kind of like, ooh, he must be on steroids because those can't be real.
And
like,
he's kind of a joke.
It's true, man. Quit. It's our world now. It's nice.
McNally, it's nice, especially here in New York City where that is way in style.
On the other hand, though, I think the large part of the success of the Keith and the Girl show is that Keith and Hemda themselves are so very unnerdy and so super cool, and that's what makes this podcast actually good as opposed to the others. And then where are the nerd support team around that hover around them?
The cloud of nerd support.
Exactly.
Well, nerds have taken on a whole new life of their own in there.
Now, I might be misunderstanding, but are you saying that I'm a nerd?
Pardon?
Are you saying that I'm a nerd? Because that's hurtful.
No comment. No further comment.
I only worked at a comic store for years and years. I don't think that's fair to call me a nerd.
I'm sure when you were in high school, Keith, that you were not like one of the guys on the football team. Or
You should be sure of that. You were my mom. I think I would have told
who
that.
All the girls were chasing after and everything else. No, you definitely would have been in that little nerd category.
I did play a little Magic the Gathering in those days.
A little?
Quite a lot.
Oh, my God.
It's a good game, dude.
After, by the way, after your mom hangs up, anyone who wants to feel free to call up with just plain insults for Magic the Gathering players, please do so.
At least I didn't play Pokemon.
That's true. Worse. I didn't play Pokemon either. I don't know anything about these things. You nerds.
Hey, Mom.
Well, I should let you guys go.
It's been a while, right?
Because you've got, yes, other people that you should certainly be getting viewpoints from.
Plus, it's Sunday, right? Are you going to church?
No. I haven't gone to church for years. You know that.
Yeah, of course. Now that you don't have kids to torment with it, there's no point anymore, right?
She was exposing
you. Yeah, that's right.
She was exposing you to
the world.
That
was my Sunday morning thrill.
I got to tell you, I mean, I don't know if it was necessarily the intention, but you certainly did instill in me a complete and absolute distrust and distaste for religion. So if that was the intention, good job.
Well, yes, that was part of the learning experience. If you're going to make up your mind about it, you have to know what it is you're dealing with.
That's true. And it's the worst thing, too, is it wasn't even like an objectionable, offensive time in church. It was just years of boredom. It was like the most Chinese water torture method.
And sometimes it doesn't hurt in life to have a little bit of boredom so that you can learn to be reflective.
It might not hurt, but it is very boring. That's undeniable. Yeah. Well, it was nice talking to you. I guess Dad's probably still sleeping, so I don't know that I'll
yeah,
get
Yeah, I haven't heard
back.
Him up and about, so.
Well, tell him I tried to call him. So
I'll
tell him
I will.
Happy Father's Day.
It was great talking to you.
Happy Father's Day, too.
It was great meeting you and talking to you, and we'll try and take care of your son down here.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Also, I've been doing a lot of meth, so send money.
A lot of meth. All right, take care of yourself. It was lovely
talking
to
you. All right.
I love you, Mom.
Okay.
Okay,
bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Well, there, that ate up some time. That was pretty nice.
That was fun. That
and
was
I
very fun.
Been meaning to call her for weeks. I don't know. It's weird because we get along well, but I just never bother calling. It's like, or even, well, last time I called, she kind of brushed me off. She's like, hey, your Uncle Chris is here, and, you know, I'm hanging out with him. Call me back later.
Hello, you are on the 72-hour record-breaking Keith and the Girl podcast. How are you doing?
Not bad. How are you doing, Matt B? This is Gunner.
Gunner! How are you doing, man? How are you doing? It is great to hear the sound of your voice.
No complaints.
Hemda is here, and she wants to talk. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Gunner.
Hello.
How are you?
I got no complaints.
No complaints wow. over there? Well, how can I find some complaints?
Hey, Gunner. It's Scott Perez Fox here.
I'm going to get Keith.
It's good to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well, or as well as your voice can transmit. Is everything going smooth over there? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah. Things are going too bad right now. Been pretty calm recently.
Okay. How's the weather over there? Is it really hot
wow.
right now? No, I'm concerned. I think it's interesting.
Seriously?
Yeah. Well, is it hot there? What's going on?
Sandstorms.
Where are you?
It's been real dusty recently. It's been about 1-4 is, I think, the highest we've been this week. So it's not too bad yet.
Are you in or around Baghdad? Where are you?
If you can't say it's...
In Baghdad.
Yeah, okay.
Yikes.
Are you, like, when you guys are off, in your off time, do you guys wander into the city, go hit the markets and things like that, or is that kind of frowned on?
Like walking out to the middle of the market and shit?
Yeah, you know, going and buy some bootleg DVDs, things like that.
That's not too safe there, but sometimes we do that as a mission. We just go walk a market, talk to people and stuff like that.
Solid.
The market isn't safe?
I've heard stories about soldiers being in line to buy shit at the market and just somebody walking up behind them and putting a bullet in their back of their head.
Well, I mean, it's outside of the markets are outside of the, the little post that they got set up here. So, I mean, the market's in the middle of the city. So, yeah, it's not too safe in the markets. That's where most of the stuff goes down because lots of people, lots of casualties.
Yeah.
Well, this is a nice call. Hey, Gunner, it's Keith. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I we're, of course, in the middle, a little more than halfway of this 72-hour podcast we're doing. And, you know, you got to run around and switch guests out and stuff like that. I kind of know what you're going through, is my point. And, in fact, I have to take an aspirin right now. So we're like war buddies, you and me. And I just want to say, what's up, boss? Yeah. Yeah.
Battle buddies, man. Battle buddies.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's tough what we do, but I don't mind doing it.
Yeah.
Gunner, what do you do to release stress?
Help us out. Yeah. What do you do? Maybe we'll do what you do. What do
maybe
you do to release
off,
stress?
Maybe like everybody else that's male and human.
Well, that's kind of hard because, you know, I'm living in the hallway with four other dudes and, yeah, we got the smallest room in this place. We're living in a house, so.
Whoa.
It's, you don't have any personal space, you don't have any personal time, you know, you don't really. Relieving stress is either going to the gym or getting on the phone talking to people. That's about it.
You're not getting gay over there or nothing, right?
Oh, no, no. Okay. We skip through the whole Man Love Thursday thing.
He wouldn't be able to tell
Man Love Thursday.
Well, you go to the you go to the gym?
I heard that.
Yeah, they got a weight bench set up for us in this house, so, I mean, it's pretty much all there is to do out here.
Oh, because we're on a diet over here.
Yeah, we got to watch what we eat because there's so much available. What do you think of that?
Oh.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's kind of what you're going. It's another thing. It's kind of what, you know what? I'm starting to think we're sacrificing more, to be honest.
hey, Gunner, I got your letter. This is Matt B. I got your letter, and I got something ready to send out to you. And in addition to that, when you get back, if you do want to work on something as far as multimedia or, you know, some film stuff, you let me know, man. I'll help you out with all the technical and make sure you're all set up. So, you know, definitely if you're still into it.
Oh, that's fucking awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Anytime, man.
How long have you been back in Iraq since we saw you in America?
I've been here for, 5 months almost.
5 months?
And,
what's your high-low?
Yeah.
What's the high-low? Yeah, what's the high-low?
Of your 5 months.
High-low.
Not dying.
The high. Well, the low, I'm not necessarily let's talk about, of course, but the highs are, I don't know. Getting,
give some people dirt naps, right? That'd be my high.
not really let's talk about that either.
I wouldn't either, but I understand. I understand. One cough. Just give me one cough. I gotcha.
Are you allowed to talk about if you were to make a documentary about the war in Iraq, what its subjects would be? Maybe some, you know.
It'd be a lot of beeps. A lot of beeps.
I know you can't talk about anything that maybe you've done, but if you were to fictionalize things that happened there, but they were still kind of real, what would you talk about? Can you do that?
Well,
or are there people standing right by you and you'll catch shit no matter what?
Could people hear this phone call right now? Do superiors hear your phone calls?
Oh, yeah. There's people always monitoring the phones. Like, we're in the MWR room, so there's like, I don't know, 5-10 other people in here.
Big ups to the sergeants and lieutenants.
Like I said, you have no personal space, no personal time, nothing. Right. But, like, I don't know.
Do you realize?
Pretty much the whole thing, like I was talking about with Matt B, was we're 5 years into this place.
Right.
And pretty much just see, you know, what the hell have we done? You know, how we helped? How are we actually helping at all? You know, that's pretty much what I was thinking. And, of course, you know, how constant rotations over here affect, you know, the soldiers and such. That's pretty much what I was going to get at with the whole film thing.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
How do you feel? How do you feel right now?
About being here?
Yeah. Not about being there, but about since you've gone back, do you personally see any difference?
Well, like, I'm not in this, like, last tour, I was up north. I was in a mostly rural area, you know, lots of farmland and no real big city. This time I'm in Baghdad and, you know, in the heart of Iraq. And, like, you can tell some difference, like the ISF, the Iraqi Army, police, stuff like that. They're starting to take charge of things. They're starting to, you know, run their own country, which takes less of a burden off of us. We went from more of a war-fighting unit to being more of a police. And
when we see the news, ups and downs, when we see the news and there's bombing going on all over Baghdad, that big tit-looking library they have, how does that thing still standing? You know what I'm talking about? What's that big thing you see on the news?
That was
that building.
The antiquities and the national records were there. Is that the building you're talking about?
Can you get rid of that? I don't need it. It really shows America.
Not to be an ass, I kind of feel like that since the Baghdad was in history and in terms of history, it was like, you know, where math and things like that like originated. I sort of feel like maybe we shouldn't be, you know, knocking everything down.
Yeah. But no, that shit was looted. That was a big scandal. That
I think that's where they get their powers from, that big dome. And I just keep an eye on it, buddy. Just a little heads up from Uncle Keith.
We'll be.
Thank you.
Well, lots of the cultural buildings like that, like, of course, the palaces. The one that's closest to us is back on a place called Prosperity, and it got a 500-pound bomb dropped straight to the top of it, and then it took a couple straight-on hits from, you know, Abrams and stuff like that. So it's got a little bit of damage, but most of the other cultural sites are still standing. Baghdad University is still up, of course, and it's still operating.
Culture.
A bunch of memorials and stuff are still up, and we try not to destroy aspects of the culture.
Right. Culture. A toilet's culture to them. You know what I mean? He knows what
no,
I mean.
No, the toilet's a hole in the ground to them.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I forget.
I just forgot to.
That's overwhelming.
It's,
here's what I was going to say. When your supervisors, do they say at all, do they have any problem saying at all if they're happy or not happy with what's happening on over here in America in regards to Barack Obama, maybe president, Hillary Clinton cannot be president? Do they talk about that stuff at all? Who are people rooting for around you?
Honestly,
or not at all? Like,
honestly,
we just do this part.
All that we see about the election is where people are campaigning. That's all they show on the news here is, oh my God, Obama is going to Minnesota. Holy shit, who gives a fuck, you know? They don't really say what the candidates are about or what they're doing. They just say, they're going here. And so really, I don't fucking know.
Can you guys?
I don't know nothing about this fucking.
Are you able to vote if you wanted to? Can you guys go to a voting booth somewhere in Iraq and vote?
Absentee ballots,
whatever you wanted, if you wanted.
Yeah, I do the mail-in absentee ballots. I don't know. They're supposed to be working on getting them to us, but we didn't get them last time, so.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? If you were, I mean, you're not into it anyway. I can tell. But if you were into it, that's something else. Oh well.
Well, I mean, be nice to pick who my boss is going to be for the next 4 years, but I mean, when you really don't know anything about the candidates, you know, how can you make an informed decision?
Do they let you go to the websites of the candidates? Because that's one of the ways that I really got into, like, figuring out who I liked.
Well, you only get so much time at the computer. I'd go to Keith and the girl.
That's true. I'd go to Keith and the girl all the time, too. Do the guys who are listening in on this phone call realize that you are a part of, like, a world record right now, and it's like the coolest way to be a part of it too, because you're calling in from like this like situation where
you're
the most unique person calling in.
Yeah, and could you explain to them how important this is, what I'm doing right now, and that you need to come over real quick?
I'll pass the word on. I'll let my chain of command now.
Can I ask you, are the women soldiers dealing differently than the men, than the male soldiers?
Wait, say that again.
Are the women soldiers dealing differently than the male soldiers?
How do you
mean?
I don't know. It's hot and you're getting your period.
Yikes.
Flies. Well, are the women's getting a lot of flies in their underparts?
I couldn't honestly answer that question for you because the place where I'm staying, like I said, it's just a house in the middle of Baghdad. We're not on any post. We're not on anything. We're in a house in the middle of Baghdad.
Jeez.
And we have no females. They don't trust us with them.
Oh, wow.
For good reason, but they don't trust us with them.
Wow, okay.
You said in your letter to me, you said that you go...
Oh, that was private.
Oh, sorry. you said that there is a place that's like bigger that you guys get to go back and visit sometimes. Is that where you're at right now? Like, then there are girls around and there are like other things to do and stuff like that? Or are you
Yeah, we go there.
Okay.
We go there once, maybe twice a week for about an hour, get some dinner, you know, get personal hygiene stuff. That's about it.
Do you know when you're coming back yet?
A year from now.
Wow, so sucks. 17 months? Is that your deployment? 16?
15, but I came early. So I came about a month early, so it's going to be about 16 total.
Wow. And are you with your same platoon or the guys from San Antonio?
From Fort Hood is where we're stationed. But, yeah, it's the same battery, same unit, everything that I went with last time. So
how's the rest?
You know, most of the people, most of us get along. There's only been one guy with a broken eye socket so far. So we're doing pretty good.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. You got to, you know, keep your people together.
That's a very good point. Scott Perez Fox is a great point. You do have to keep your people together. So try to keep your people together over there. Very good point, Scott.
Come on, you know
he doesn't understand war like we do. And so he's nervous. Don't blame him too much.
We're both laughing at Scott. We both understand.
Yeah. Thank you so much for calling, Gunner. It's awesome talking to you. Let me see. What other advice can I give you? Stay cool, I think. But when you get cold at night, layers. I recommend layers.
Layers. Let me get my notepad out.
Layers. Right. Layers are important.
Let me get my notepad.
What's the best MRE over there? What do they have now going today?
Hummus.
It's all shit. It's all probably the same from when you were in.
Is it like chips and hummus now?
No, oh my god, they have three different types of MREs. They got the fucking regular ones, they
god,
got
I
the kosher ones,
kinds
and
of
then
hummus.
They got the Muslim halal ones.
What's that for? Are they trying to change you, or are you changing them? What the fuck?
Well, they gotta be, you know, politically correct I tried one of the little Muslim ones, and those things are just shit in the can. They're horrible. The kosher ones, you know, bagels and shit like that. And then you got the regular ones. It's not bad.
Government bagels, man, that's suffering.
Yeah, I was over here. You know what? You know what happened to me yesterday or a few days ago? We were about to go to the beach, right? And I'm trying to get the smoothie. And I like the razzle dazzle, Gunner. It's strawberry banana with apple juice. I find apple juice far too sour in my smoothie, and so I go, can I get orange juice instead of apple juice? And it's like a whole to do. Like they've never heard of such a thing. You know, you make sacrifices, and you know it's. I know what you mean. Is my point.
Yeah.
You're still getting the show on the regular, Gunner. You still get to like download when you have the chance to get on the machines.
Nah, they don't let us download anything.
Oh, damn, man.
Like, I got to hear, like, maybe 15 minutes of your show, maybe a few months ago, but other than that, this is it.
How was it? Was it a good part of the show or a bad part where you're like, oh, fuck, I picked the bad 15?
I've been listening, Gunner. You got the best part.
Nah. But, it's not it. I don't even fucking know. I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying.
Do you have nightmares over there? Do people have nightmares? Are you more adjusted? This is a dumb question, maybe. But are you more adjusted when you're over there or then when you're at home in America? Does that make sense?
When I'm over here.
When you're over there, you're more
well-adjusted. I get what you're saying. And yeah. When I'm over here, it's easier.
Right. I follow.
Because it's the mindset that you have over here that fucks with you when you go back to America. So over here, you're already in the mindset. You're good to go.
Right. Over here, by the way, I got another war story for you. This was a couple days ago. We've been having a heat wave in New York. I'm not going to lie to you. And the air conditioner couldn't handle it. I had to get a new one.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Pretty tough. You got to pull through. You don't give up. You know, I didn't give up.
You had to carry it, Keith?
No, I mean, you know, I threw $2 to a guy and he carries it and installs it. Oh, but, geez. I mean, the point is, it's like, oh, my God, you know what I mean? Like, the fucking air conditioner, you know. I gotta get one on sale on credit, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess that's better than us. I mean, our AC, it works. It stays. It works on Celsius, so because it's all European shit, and it usually sits about 38, 39. Wow. So it's not too bad.
Is this a machine or an Iraqi? Keep blowing.
It's an actual machine, but.
Sometimes, if people are wondering what we're talking about, sometimes jokes keep us going.
Dr. Burst says, tell him about the towel in the freezer.
Oh, let me tell you about what you do over there. Here's another thing. Keep your pen and paper ready. Here's what you do. You take a towel or a washcloth, and you wet it. I like Evian is good. And you then put it in a freezer, and then you take it out of the freezer. You know, just push the hot dogs and cheeseburgers out of the way. And then you take the towel out, and it's all crackly and crinkly, and you wear that like a turban, like they do over there, and you're nice and cool. And then you don't have like hot flashes and stuff like that out in the field. You can pass that around to the boys.
All right, so
towel, right? Towel,
freezer. All right.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, first we got to get the freezer, then we...
Get a freezer, right, get a freezer. I should have said that first. Get a freezer, and then find a free towel that's not used to soak up blood and stuff, and then find some clean water and put all that stuff together.
We'll work on it.
You don't owe me nothing, buddy. You don't owe me nothing. Anybody want to say anything before he gives the phone to anybody else over there? They don't. They don't respect you. I do. I will. Go ahead, Sasha.
Good luck, man. Stay out of trouble. Don't take any unnecessary risks.
He's right. Stay out of trouble. Can you stay out of trouble over there?
Yeah. Don't go picking any fights with other GIs or anything like that.
I'll try.
Listen, hey man, it'll be fun when you get back. We'll all get together and have a party for sure.
Have you heard of Nice Guy Eddie's?
Listen, if Gunner, if you could put together a list of stuff on the forum and your mailing address, folks will try their hardest to send them to you, including myself. So if you have 5 minutes,
for example, that freezer.
How hard is it to get hold of Dirty Magazines?
They make Dirty Magazines now.
Oh God, I know, right?
Because we want to see some.
We'll make a list right back.
This is my elbow. Right. You know how they do.
Someone has my address, I'm sure.
No, they do.
Oh, somebody y'all has have your address. Address.
Yeah,
we have it.
I don't know if they're sending you Dirty Magazines, but would you like them to send you Dirty Magazines? Can you trade them for like cigarettes or something like prison?
Trade them, use them.
Yeah, can you trade them for semen?
This isn't like prison or anything. This is fucking Iraq. A little bit different. Everyone has guns.
Do you want us to send you bullets or something? Nobody's thinking practical over here. You need some bullets?
I think we're good on bullets. We got
okay.
We got the missiles. We got the bullets. We got grenades. We got everything okay. We need. I think we're set on that. We got the grenades.
Well, I got, I don't know if you knew this, some time ago. At an electronics show. Now, I don't know what this has to do with electronics, but I got a handheld crossbow. And there's only three bows, actually two. One I lost behind the couch. But I can send that over to you. Just like a little, in case you get into like a little face-to-face ruckus. You know what I mean? You're like,
tuck it in your boot.
Yeah, you tuck that right, that baby right in your boot.
Did you know flour is flammable? Because if you run out of like bullets.
Oh, listen to this. You got your pen and paper? Listen to this. You take flour, right? And you blow it. When it's in powder form, extremely flammable. I almost burned down Spooky's house. You could have that one too, free of charge.
Is there, that's noted. All
right. Is there anything?
Cody says that. All right, that's noted.
Yes.
Is there anything that you want to have people send to you regardless? Like you could
like Polaroids of their titties,
or as much like Kit Kats as you want, or some shit like that. You know, like is there some like something you can't get there that you like?
Do you want me to get you a razzle dazzle? I can't promise you that's not going to be made out of apple juice because I don't got all fucking day. You know what I mean?
If we send you a keg or at least one of those Heineken mini kegs, will it get to you?
Oh, you want a Heineken mini keg? They're pretty handy.
They're $20, man.
They're only $20. That I'm going to have to charge you for. But.
Nah, man.
All right. Oh, okay. How old are you now? I forget. How old is he?
21.
Look out!
Yeah, look out, ladies, right? Right?
Look out, bartender. I was thinking.
Yeah, show a little arm. I'm 21. Right?
Oh, yeah. Not much over here, but yeah.
Do the girls walk around all covered up over there?
Actually, no. Not like up north they did, but here in Baghdad, they're westernized, so.
They're
still conservatively, but they're not dressed in the black, you know, dresses and everything. Right.
Do you wish that they were?
A little bit better.
Do you wish they were? Are they okay?
Sometimes.
So, yeah. Sometimes. Like a little modesty wouldn't kill you. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. And sometimes I walk around America and I'm like, you know, fucking cover up. Like all of it. All right, man. I hope you get a good piece of hummus over there. And you know what? I'll tell you what. America food over here. I had a pizza this week. It was like, I don't know. You know,
it was the wrong topping.
Right. Pepperoni. Like, nobody knows pepperoni. It's like, I don't know. Not pepperoni and sausage. You know what I mean? I don't know. Everything's not so great over here either. That's my point.
I just want to send a personal message to Gunnar.
Well, I don't know that.
Since everybody's listening,
you think that's why the war's so hard, because they talk so fucking angry? You know, how are you gonna get anything done? Yeah, tell them to talk nice. That's what I recommend too. When you walk through the streets, go talk nice.
Do you think if they had more porn or weed over there, things might be different?
You know, it's worth a shot.
Consider it done. I think we found what we're going to send you. All right, little ganja, little playboy. You got it, buddy. Enough said. All right, Gunner. It's fucking awesome talking to you, man. Keep in touch.
Come home safe.
I'd appreciate that.
Put that on your list.
I'll
add that to your list. That's the fourth thing. Come home safe.
Oh. Okay, so I got towels, need a freezer, and come on, sir. All right, got it.
I'm not wasting my breath on him. I like this. All right, take care, buddy.
All right, peace.
Talk to you later, peace. KeithandTheGirl.com.